How's that go? Oh, good, good. There we go. So everybody can hear, and it's amazing. But God ended up visiting me in a dream, and it was sharing me, what can we see God in the book of Exodus? Of course we can. But what God do we see in the book of Exodus? What God is operating and working in the book of Exodus? And we're going to just see bits and pieces. You know, it would just take way more than time we have to really go detail. But God highlighted some things in that book that I think is going to benefit us as a group of believers going forward into 2020, whatever God has. I'm going to open up with the verse. First, Father, Holy Spirit, you come. You're amazing. Thank you, God, that you're the one that goes into the earpiece and reaches the heart. And Father God, that our hearts would be receptive to who you're revealed as in the book of Exodus, in Jesus' name. We're going to start with this. In Exodus 2, now a man in the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Now, you know what was happening was the midwives were instructed to immediately kill all the boy children that were born amongst the Israelites because they had this perception they're becoming too strong. So this baby's born, and when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. And what is the God that we serve want to get to our heart about this? And it's namely, are we seeing the heart of God when we meet people? Are we seeing the heart of God when God blesses us with children? Do we see the potential of that child when he's born into our family? Do we see what a server might need to hear when we go to a restaurant? Do we see what God has for people that we're meeting every day? And take the boldness to declare that to them. You know, it's amazing. I've been preparing for this. We had the men's breakfast, and I've been there for months. But the young lady that was we were checking in with as you walk in there, Golden Corral, I looked at her and I said, I remember you. And she said, yes, I remember you. Because when we have something to share from God to others, it finds a place in the heart. It finds a place in the heart. And I'm going to challenge all of us that have children, who have bosses, who have people we meet, people that we're close to. I want to challenge you. Right off the get-go, God wants us to see into their lives his heart. His heart. And of course, and we know the rest of the story. Now, I'm not going to go into details of all the story, but highlight it. Right off the get-go, we are God's instrument to declare potential in other people. Amen?
Amen.
So then one day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were and watched them as in their hard labor. And he saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew, one of his own people. Point. Do we know our identity? Do we know who we are? Moses raised up. He was raised up in Pharaoh's home. He was raised in the palace. He spent 40 years in the palace with everything that the world could give him. Everything in the world, and he lived in that environment. Then he spent 40 years in Midian as a shepherd, learning how to shepherd the sheep. He found a wife, he had children, and things are pretty normal for 40 years. I think what he found, his identity in Egypt, and left. And now he was finding his identity for his call for his life. Because then he spent 40 years leading the whole nation out of bondage. Do you see your potential? Do you see, and do I see my identity? Do I see who I really am in Christ? That's what we can get out of that verse. Then moving on, and when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look and call him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. That's a word that God wants for all of us in our journey through life. When God is starting and beginning to use us in people's lives and giving us our identity and giving us the heart of his heart to other people, then the word's got to come out of our mouth. Here I am. Here I am. You know, it's because of an announcement in my life years ago when I said, here I am, Lord, use me, is why I'm here today speaking. It's about, here I am, use me. Here I am, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to see the potential in other people's lives. I want to grow people up. I want to lead them into your presence and the knowledge of who you are. Here I am. Here I am. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And I've heard their crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. I want you to know, God has not missed one point of your life. God has not missed seeing anything you've gone through. God doesn't miss a thing. He knows all about you. He knows about all your struggles. He knows everything you're going through. And his heart is to respond. His heart is to respond. He heard their cries. He said, Moses, I heard their cries, and I've got a plan for them. You know what? It's amazing. He says he heard their cries. He didn't say he heard their prayers. He heard their cries. He knew. You know, some of us get in this place where the world is dealing out to us such struggles and such hardships. We can't even get to the place to pray. We're just maybe sitting there crying, and God hears. He hears, and he's about to respond. He's about to respond. And then even women, this is before he ever left Midian to go to Egypt. I want to make that point because this is really important. Before he ever left Midian, God showed him a whole plan. And part of that plan, he says, every woman is to ask his neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold, for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder Egypt. He knew, he had instructions of everything that was going to happen before it happened. And that's the God we serve. We serve the God in the presence. So when we get a vision for something, it may just remain a vision, but I want you to know, if God gave you a vision and God gave you a heart for something, never, never, ever think that it won't happen. Because God calls things that are even though they're not. They may not be now, but they are. Once they're caught up in what he's doing in our life, he is the one that's going to finish the job. Amen? Amen? Now, this is so... And I'm glad Nancy... There's a lot of pages here. And Nancy numbered them for me, so I can't... Okay. Then, Exodus. In chapter 4. And the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, as to see you, Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you and the power to do it. But I will harden the heart so that he will not let the people go. So he was very well informed about the issues that he was going to face. God told him ahead of time, this is not going to come easy, but be assured, my people will leave Egypt. So he went on to do this task and meet. Now Pharaoh, we'll learn a little bit about this a little later. Pharaoh was thought of as a god. And God is going to tear down everything that appears to be a god, but it's not. And so then in chapter 5, you are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. Now, the reason I jumped to that, because there's a lot of in-between here. He said there's going to be opposition. And part of that opposition, he increased the labor of the people of Israel. I want to let you know something. When we're doing the God kind of walk and the journey with God, things could get worse before they get better. God is interested in where our heart is. In when things don't seem to be actively happening the way we think. After all, God's ways are not our ways all the time, right? So I've learned this through life. When disappointments come and struggles come in my life and challenges that I just don't know how to work through it, I know those places in my life. But I've come to this place where saying, God, thank you for that. You are giving me an opportunity to see your mighty work. So I can sit back and rest. When I rest, God does. When I struggle and fight, God rests. So then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israels out of it. Key point here that sometimes we can miss. God's heart was for the Egyptians. You know, the leadership might have resisted, but the people were seeing the hand of God. In fact, in one place it says, Pharaoh, you're missing the point. Their God is stronger than us. And the heart of God, you know, and that's why getting to that place of blessing your enemies and doing good to those who persecute you and loving those who deceitfully use you is from the mouth of Jesus in the God kind of life. Because that sets me free and that sets you free to say, if there's somebody in opposition to you, that you're very important is your response to that. Very important is your response to that. And he said, because in all this that was going on, God's heart was not only to set Israel free and redeem them from Egypt, but his heart was also for the Egyptians. And there's still pockets of Christianity in Egypt to this day. And I thought about it a little later. He says, imagine this. Here was this leadership that was trying to stop things. God was out to introduce a whole nation of Egyptians to who he is. And at the birth of Jesus, where did Jesus go? Out of Egypt he'll come. And we're going to get into that because some really significant things happen. But now the plague part. What about the plagues? What you can find out if you search it out, you'll find out every plague answered was an answer to the gods of Egypt. The gods of Egypt. It says, like the first one, the water into blood. Hepi, god of the Nile. You know, then frogs from the Nile River. Heket, goddess of fertility, water, renewal, had a head of a frog. Lice from the dust of the earth. Geb, the god of the earth. Then swarms of flies. Khepri, god of creation, movement of the sun, rebirth, and that god had a head of a fly. Death of the cattle and livestock. Hathrol, god of love and protection. And that god in Egypt had a head of a cow. Ashes turned to boils and sores. Isis, goddess of medicine and peace. Hail coming down with fire. Not goddess of the sky. Locusts sent from the sky. Seth, god of storms and disaster. God was speaking to those Egyptians in every area of their faith misplaced. 3 days of complete darkness. Ra, the sun god. Death of the firstborn. Pharaoh. The ultimate power of Egypt. Even the Pharaoh could not bring life back to his son. God challenged every belief system in Egypt and declared himself God of all. Then Pharaoh investigated. Here's a key point for us as believers. A key point. He investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died, yet his heart was unyielding and he would not let the people go. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days, yet the Israelites had light in the place where they lived. I want to let you know, whatever's going on around you, God's hand of protection is around you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It's amazing. Here were these things coming down to Egypt, and it never touched an Israelite. I'm talking about catastrophic things. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if that virus never touched a Christian in China? Amen. To declare his glory and who he is, that would never touch a Christian in China? Because that's what happened. Hey, this is real stuff. This really happened. This really happened. And I love it. The Pharaoh wanted to investigate it. And he found out what was happening to his people was not happening to the Israelites. You know, when you say, you know, he's our health, he's everything, man. He's everything. But the issue is, do we believe it? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Here, it happened. It happened. You're talking about over a million people that were Israelites at that time, and they weren't touched by any of the judgments of God on Egypt. They were totally protected from it. Then, going on, getting anything out of this? Huh? All right. They are to take some of the blood, put on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses were where they ate the lamb. Now, very interesting, very important thing here. Very important thing. You know, it was almost a sign of the cross when they shed the blood. And you know, other scriptures tell us, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. A shedding of blood was mandatory for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had to shed his blood, had to pierce in his side, and his blood to flow from his veins in order to be the perfect sacrifice to bring us into relationship with the Father. But what's really interesting to me was the instruction of shedding the blood of the lamb and then roasting the lamb whole, with all the brains, all the organs, roasting the lamb whole, and they had to eat the lamb whole. What a picture of the Son of God sacrificing himself, his whole body on the cross. You know, they were instructed to eat the lamb whole. That was out of sync of how you normally prepare a meal from an animal. And they left Egypt. That sacrifice of the whole lamb. And remember Jesus said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not inherit. You know, here's a picture of God Almighty declaring going forward 4,000 years that the Lamb of God in his whole body would be sacrificed for us. And his blood would be shed for once and for all that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now they left. After that, they were asked to leave and they left. Here's the deal. They left healthy, whole, provided for. Even their clothing and their shoes. Do you have any shoes 40 years old? Yeah. You do. Are you wearing them every day? but shoes are not intended to last and be worn. My shoes only last a year because all the walking I do, they got a hole on the bottom after about a year. They're gone. My shoes are gone. I do a lot of walking. But they're not only they left healthy. Now guess what? There was baby, there was newlyweds, there was mid-age, there was old age, and every kind of age, men and women, million of them marching out of Israel for 40 years, healthy, whole, and even their clothing and their shoes would not wear out. Is that the God you serve? Is that the God I serve? That he is more than able to take care of me? So why would I ever fret when things happen that I'm not cared for? I'm not cared for. Then during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, lead my people, you and your Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested." Amazing he could even say, "Worship the Lord." That's amazing that he could even say that. And he said, "Get out of here. Leave." And the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. And they gave them what they had asked for. And they plundered Egypt. And they were backed up at the Red Sea. See, way back in Midian, God told Moses, "You're going to leave that country with plenty." And now, a few chapters later, the reality is just for the asking, and they'll give all the supply. God is never lacks supply. We may. Now, here's the key thing. They're backed up with the Red Sea. And I'm wondering for you and for me, do we get into these backed up to the Red Sea? Do we get backed up? What's our response? My response? Your response when we don't know the next step and it seems disaster is ready to happen? Very key to Exodus is, what do you and I do when we are backed up to our Red Sea? God wants you to know that. He wants to know you to know who he is when you're backed up to your Red Sea. You know what? We know what happened there. We know what happened there. Moses already had the game plan. And when he kind of talked to the Lord about it, he said, I'll use my phrase, paraphrase, don't bellyache, Moses. Just take him through the Red Sea. But the people were saying, now imagine, you and I can come to church and see miracles, see deliverance for our own lives, other people's lives. I've witnessed some out-and-out miraculous things. But the question is, what do you and I do when we're backed up to the Red Sea? Do we take the easy route, like many of the people did? And they said, we're better off slaves in Egypt. What do we do? He bring us out here just to be annihilated? Where is our heart? Where is my heart when we're backed up to the Red Sea? When all we can see in the natural is disaster, do we have vision for what we can't see? Read that. Do you and I, when we're backed up to our Red Sea experience, do we have eyes to see through what's impossible? A few things. Fear and anxiety. God has a sound mind. It says, and God will give you a spirit, I'm gonna put my cheaters on. I'm struggling here reading this. And God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Philippians, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How about this? Is this your Red Sea? Unforgiveness. God says, I've got another plan for you. Forgiveness. I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive others. Take the God road. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. So is your Red Sea unforgiveness? God will see you through. Is your Red Sea unbelief? Well, God has an answer for that. Faith. Faith. Now, faith is the confidence that we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Don't depend on your vision. Depend on God. That's God kind of faith. Faith is our Red Sea hopelessness. God has an answer for that. Hope. Not rocket scientists. We're hopeless. He has hope. He has hope. And he says here, and the man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's hope. He has the answer to hopelessness. Victim. Do you feel, you know, the Egyptians, when they're in their Red Sea experience, they felt like victimized. They start crying. Oh, woe is me. They sent me out here to die or something? What's going on? God has an answer for being a victim. He says, you're a victor. That's who you are. And even in the midst of all things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors and has demonstrated love is in our glorious victory over everything. So is your Red Sea a victim? Feel a victim, victimized? God wants to say, you're a victor. How about anger? Is your Red Sea just getting angry and defiant to have your way? God has an answer for that. Trust and anticipation. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Some trust in chariots, like the Egyptians did, and some in horses, like the Egyptians did, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. So is your Red Sea experience just get mad? Or is a place to put your trust in Him? Weakness. Is your and my Red Sea say, I'm just weak. I just can't handle it. God's answer is strength. God's answer is supernatural strength. But for those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not faint. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts. I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to Him. Fine. That one's for you and every worship leader that leads into us in our church here. It's a ministry. It's a ministry to bring a song to the believers that will lift us up and encourage us in the walk. And we sang some of those songs this morning. And it says, so is your Red Sea, is you think you can't do it? I want to remind you, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Then in closing, you know, this is amazing. Our God is the I Am. Amen. You know, Jesus even said that of Himself, I am the I Am. He told Moses back in the bush, I am the I Am. You tell that Pharaoh, I am sent you. Now, we can take this a little further and say, the I Am is my sound mind. The I Am is our forgiveness. The I Am is our faith. The I Am is our hope. The I Am is our victor. The I Am is our trust and anticipation. I Am is our strength. The I Am is our healer. Our I Am is our helper. Our I Am is our provider. Our I Am is our wholeness and who we are. Finally, bold letters. Jesus is our I Am. And His name needs to be lifted up daily in this church. And every time we gather, His name shall be lifted up. Now, to those who will be listening on the podcast, I want to remind you of who God is. He is the I Am. He did everything that you need to get into relationship with the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that it could be your opportunity to kneel down and say, I am no longer going to reject Jesus, but I'm going to receive His love and forgiveness. And when you do that, I want to show you what's happening. If you make that decision, you're listening on a podcast, and you're making that decision that I want to know this God that led a whole nation out of Israel. I want to know this God of signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to know this God that will give me the peace that passes understanding. I want to know Jesus. And if you made that decision, I want to let you know what happens. What happens, his blood and life was given for you for your health, wholeness, and everything that you need in life. And his blood was shed that you may walk in the forgiveness of God, and you will and are and become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that your journey to strive is over. Your journey is to fall in love with a God that is totally in love with you and wants to give you everything you need for life. Everything you need for any situation that will cause you harm and cause you distress. That the I Am will be there for you. And he said, whatever, if you make that decision for Jesus and you give your life to him, from now on, from this very decision point, God is going to carry you through all the way to the end. And the end is not an end, it's a beginning, because you will be welcomed into his kingdom. You'll be welcomed. Isn't that an amazing thing? Then when life is all over, we have a God that says, come on in. I welcome you because you know Jesus. Because you know Jesus. Help anybody this morning?
Amen.
Help anybody this morning? You got an amazing God. You and I serve an amazing God. And you know what? Anytime you and I ever come up to those Red Sea experience where we think we don't know, I want to let you know, he knows. And you can rest in the peace that passes understanding. Because in this world, you and I would have troubles, but be of good cheer, because our Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. This really happened thousands of years ago. And God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never quit supporting you and me. He's never fallen asleep on us. He's never given up on us. And he will be for us always. Amen. You can clap for Jesus. That's what you can clap for Jesus. He's awesome. He's awesome.